Jesus, cultivate relationships, and change the world. And I have the privilege of starting out our first sermon series, which is Follow Jesus. And today we'll be diving in more deep on what it means to be a Christian and follow Jesus. Eli, can you turn my mic down a little bit? There's some echo going on, please. Test. That's better. Let me start by asking you a question. When people look at you, do they see the characteristics of Christ? Think about that a little bit. When people look at you, do they see the characteristics of Christ? You know, the Bible tells us our purpose is to be conformed into His image so that we may look and act like Jesus. Today, I am titling my message, The Reflection of Christ. Let us pray. God, I thank you for this word that you laid on my heart, Lord, but I need you to go before me. Clear everything from myself, Lord, speak through me so that I have boldness and clarity to share this message with the congregation today. Lord, may everything I say and do bring you honor and glory. And also, Lord, I just ask for you to go ahead of us and open our hearts and minds to be receptive to the word that you have for us, Lord. We'll never cease to give you honor and glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you look at this picture, my in-laws just got back from a trip out west to the great state of Montana. And this past Sunday, they shared some pictures with us, 400 to be exact. Yeah, 400 of their favorites, as Corey said. So needless to say, we sat in the living room for quite a while, but truthfully, we were astonished, we were amazed by the beauty of God's creation. You know, when you look at this picture and you look at the reflections of the mountains and the trees on the water, it's amazing. You know, it's so clear, it's so perfect. It's flawless. It's very evident and easy to see the mountains and the trees. So I'll go back to the question I just asked you. When people look at you, are you so clearly reflecting Christ? By being conformed into His image, it means we must be a mirror of Jesus. Honestly, this is the goal of the Christian walk. We want to look and act more like Jesus. You know, His characteristics should be our characteristics. What are some of those, you may ask? Truth, obedience, humility, compassion, grace, forgiveness, empathy, wisdom, listening, and patience. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be saved and have our salvation. But that's not where God wants to leave us. He doesn't want to save us and give us our salvation just to live in our own old ways. It's for a new order of life. And we see that in Colossians 1:13. If we'll all turn our Bibles to Colossians 1:13, your mobile device, whatever it is. Colossians 1:13 says, "We who are saved are to have a different order of life from the one of the unsaved. We are to live in a different world." How many remember that slogan that went around that said, "Be in the world, but not of the world," right? And Jesus desires us to show His characteristics through our words, our thoughts, and our actions. He wants us to show His love, share His wisdom, walk in His power, and extend His peace, patience, and joy to those around us. We are to be the hands and feet of Jesus here on this earth. There's an old popular bumper sticker that once said, "Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven." While this is true, we as Christians have to put a conscious effort into our spiritual growth so we can mature in faith and become more like Him. You know, I grew up in the 80s and 90s era. Michael Jordan was the iconic figure of my time. Everyone wanted to be like Mike. There was even a commercial, a Gatorade commercial, that said, if I could be like Mike, if I could be like Mike. And kids in my era, including myself, they had the Jordans, which I have on today. They had the jerseys, they had the armbands, they had the shorts. And every kid that was on the basketball court tried to emulate and reflect Michael Jordan. They would try to finesse the fadeaway jump shot or his cross-up to his jump shot or even try his layup with his tongue out. But do you think any of these kids, including myself, ended up being as good as Michael Jordan? No. Why, you may ask? I would say that they lacked desire and discipline that Michael Jordan had to become the player that he was. Michael Jordan's regiment, if you read about it, was unbelievable. Not only was his diet on point, but his physical workout was on point, but his practice regiment, when it come to basketball, was also on point. Every day, outside of Michael Jordan practicing with the team, he had the scoring workout, which he would call it. He would shoot form shooting 30 makes. Oh, by the way, in between each drill, he would make 3 free throws. So he would form shooting 30 makes. He would do 2 foot up and under finishes, 8 makes on each side. He would do a self-toss pin down, 10 makes on each side. He would do a jab step dribble to a pull up, 10 makes on each side. He would do a baseline post up, 8 makes on each side. He would attack the baseline, 5 makes on each side. He would do a soft jab, cross step, 5 makes on each side. He would do a crossover snatch, I don't know what that is, but 10 makes on each side. And then after doing all that, he would make 128 game speed makes. That's incredible. That's after practicing with the team. So it's evident of why Michael Jordan was able to have the success that he has. It's also evident if we're not willing to participate and have those desires and disciplines in our life, we can't expect to be a Michael Jordan. The same principle relies on us as Christians. We can't expect to be like Jesus if we're not willing to put in the work, have the disciplines to do what Jesus has called us to do. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. What are some of the disciplines Jesus had? Solitude, fasting, prayer, service to others. If these were his disciplines, surely we are going to have those ourselves if we are going to reflect Christ. If we are to become more like Jesus, we may have to reprioritize some things in our life. You know, the time is all that we have, right? Time is all we have. And these jars represent our time. Whether it's 24 hours a day, whether it's a week, whether it's a month, whether it's a year, this jar represents our time. These different elements of rocks, I have big rocks, I have the smaller rocks, and I have sand, represent our priorities, our things that fill up our day. And the sand's going to represent things that are not so important, like social media, TV shows, Netflix, gossip, worry, the news. You know, we all have 24 hours in a day. You know, a recent post done says the average American spends 2 hours on social media a day. They also, Nielsen, which is an auditor for TV, radio, different media platforms, says the average American watches 4 hours of TV a day. What's the number one excuse for Americans? Fill in the last. We don't have enough what? Time. Do we or don't we? It's how we prioritize that time. And see, 6 months ago, when the Lord flipped my life upside down, you know, I had to start reprioritizing some things in my life. And it's been hard. I'm not going to sit up here and say it hasn't been easy. To completely change what you were doing, the routines, it takes a conscious effort. But the way that we operated life, my wife and I before, is we would do all the things, social media, worry, gossip, you know, Netflix, TV, we would do all those things first in our life, right? How many people can relate? And then we would add in this, the rocks. These rocks represent our jobs, which are important, our family time, our businesses, kids' activities, rest, spending time with friends. And we would add those on. We would add those in the jar. Looks pretty full, right? And then whatever time we had left over, we would give it to God, which these rocks represent reading the Word, sacrificial living, things like that. And whatever was left over, that's what we gave to God. And that's not what He's requiring of us. He wants us to give to Him first, to give to Him first. And if we'll do that, we'll find that God will give us the capacity, but also the room to do things in life that we need to do. So if we put, read God's Word every day. If we put, pray. If we put sacrificing and service for others, or worship, or sacrificial living in other ways, and then also studying God's Word. If we put those things first, looks pretty full, right? But God gives us the capacity, He gives us the ability to do the other things that are important when it comes to family, when it comes to the kids' sports, when it comes to, you know, our jobs, our businesses, and things that are needed to be done. And you may have to shake it up a little bit. You may have to shake your life up a little bit to make it work, all right? But it will work. So we'll just keep filling it up. And you may have to move some things around. It's not going to be easy, but I promise you, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. And it's like, how can all this stuff fit? How can it fit? Well, God does the shaking. God does the reforming. He will make the ways work. And then we'll add the sand. Let me move this one little rock, because this big one is hard to do every day. You know, I promise you it'll fit. If I could remember how to put the big rocks in first, that would have been good. Let me get it all in there. I want to make sure we're not missing anything. And then we start pouring those things in that are not so important, right? Those social media, the news, the things that, you know, are filling up our time that are non-productive and doesn't change the kingdom, right? But He makes a way. He makes a way. And there you go. Everything's in there and it fits because He gives us the capacity. Leaving here, if we're truly going to be followers of Jesus, we may have to rearrange some things. And it's not something that'll happen today or tomorrow. It's something that may take a few months. But He's only asking you to take the first step. You know, Corey and I went to a leadership a while back, and we heard a speaker talking about the fellowship of the 2%. And what he was saying is, oftentimes when we live a life so radical, we are often misunderstood by the 98%. I want you to listen to this clip, because although it is directed towards a business leadership group, I believe it's applicable for the radical Christian on fire following Jesus.
And they want to steal it. And they want to keep you where you're at. You've got to be able to fight. And that's what makes this thing special. You need to remember, if you want to be understood by the 2% of this nation, you will be misunderstood by the 98%. Some of you, that already eliminates you because you're worried about what they think. But you see, I'm part of the fellowship of the 2%. The die has been cast. I've stepped out of the comfort zone. The decision's been made. I am a diamond. I won't look back without slowing down or back away. My past is forgotten. My present is focused. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sidewalk, and cheap. I don't have to be right. I don't have to be recognized. decision and desire determined, my discipline dedicated, my devotion is steady. My face is set, my pace is fast, my road is narrow, my way is tough. My companions are strong, my counselor is reliable, my purpose is pure, and my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, delayed, or denied. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversary, negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder in the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I will give up, shut up, let up, till I stand up, stirred up, prayed up, paid up, and stood up for the cause of freedom. I must fight when others faint, go when others won't, give till I drop, teach till all know, and work till the task is finished. And when I lie exhausted on the playing field of dreamers, this heaven comes.
All right, so I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of the 2%, right? That's what I want to be a part of. You know, a recent study was done. There's close to 60% of the people in this country claim to be Christians. I wonder how many people are truly following Christ. You know, if we're truly going to be a reflection of Christ, we better make sure that we're saved up, prayed up, praised up, and read up. You know, we have to do one or the other. We must intend to stop sinning and follow Jesus, or intend not to and not follow him. There's no third possibility. You know, next week, we're all going to be faced with things out in this world that can derail us from showing the reflection of Christ. What's going to happen on Monday when someone at work kicks you off? Are you going to respond back with a harsh comeback? Are you going to gossip about them at work for the rest of the day? Are you going to reflect what Jesus would do? Turn the other cheek, walk away. What about on social media when you're scrolling through Facebook and someone offends you and you're upset? Are you going to pray for that person? Are you actually going to go and comment and do something that makes no difference in the kingdom? What about this one? I almost feel like I should be JJ taking off my shirt here, because this is one I got to be honest with you. This is one that I need help with. What about when your wife or your father-in-law gets under your skin? Are you going to respond harshly? Are you going to respond with meekness, gentleness, like the Lord would? Two times I can think of that I haven't responded so Christ-like here in the past couple months. What about when someone pulls out in front of you this week? You going to give them the bird, or are you going to say, God bless you? Because people in these cars are crazy. You don't hit the gas as soon as that green light goes on. Boy, they're beeping the horns. They're cussing you, everything else back there. You can see it. I was at school the other day trying to let my grandmother out at the stop, and this lady was banging on the steering wheel. She was yelling. She was mad. I'm like, lady, she's 80 couple years old. Let me get her out the car first. 89, almost 90. What about when you're at a restaurant next week and you get bad service? You know, I've been in the restaurant industry for a while, and it's been amazing. Been not amazing to see so many so-called Christians claim to be followers of Jesus, but yet the way that they treat the staff because they're not serviced the way they want to is unbelievable. The ones that are so-called Christians that go on social media and blast you and tell you what a terrible place you are or person you are, that's not the ways of Christ. So we all have to be prepared. We have to be saved up. We have to be prayed up. We have to be praised up. We got to be read up if we're going to be prepared for the adversary throughout the week. Remember what JJ said a few weeks ago. He said, it's not a Sunday thing. It's a Monday through Saturday thing. It's the preparation, it's the dedication, it's the disciplines that we have in our lives, Monday through Saturday, will determine the outcome of not only Sunday, but the rest of our week. I'd like to end by reading a story entitled, You Look Just Alike. This story will bring the following scripture to life, 2 Corinthians 3:18. We are all being changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. This is a true story that happened between a Christian named Melanie and her mom, Florence, who was not a believer. Florence had gone to the same hairdresser for years. Every time she came back from her appointment, she would tell her daughter, "Honey, you have to meet Susie, the hairdresser. You both look exactly alike." Finally, Melanie was home for a long enough visit, and she consented to making an appointment with Susie. Needless to say, she was very anxious to meet the woman who supposedly looked just like her. When Melody walked into the hair salon and was introduced to Susie, she was startled to see there was no physical resemblance between them at all. Melody was very short with dark hair and dark complexion. She was pretty with rounded features. Susie, on the other hand, was very tall, blonde, skinny, and had angular features. There was absolutely no physical similarities between them. Of course, the mom was excited to introduce them, so she did, and a few minutes later, she left. Melody stood there awkwardly for a moment, and then she hesitantly asked Susie, "Did mom tell you that we looked alike?" She said, "Of course," Susie said. "For years, she told me that we looked exactly alike. I'm shocked and surprised to meet you." "Me too," said Melody. While Melody was getting her hair done and shampooed, she and Susie had a chance to share some details about their life. It turned out they were both Christians, and both were truly committed to living their life for the Lord. Melody's mom, however, was not a believer. After thinking about it for a while, they both realized the reason Melody's mom saw them as similar is because she saw the image of Jesus in both of them. It was their character. It was his life, his image, that the mom evidently saw in them. There was no physical resemblance in each of them, but spiritually, they had the same image. I love this story because it shows the power as we carry around with us when we allow Christ to live in us. Scripture tells us to be magnified, to be reflected, glorified, and shown forth in our bodies and whatever it is we do. Cool story, isn't it? Glorifying simply means reflecting his likeness in all that we do. It means unlearning the old ways and thinking of our thinking and doing, and allowing him to show forth and manifest and express his characteristics through us. It means removing every hindrance, every obstacle, and every blockage in our life that quenches his Spirit, so that he may be clearly seen through us, just as a father was perfectly seen through Jesus. Just as the mountain and the trees lines was perfectly seen throughout the water. So I'm going to ask you the question that I started with. When people look at you, are you clearly reflecting Christ? The first four rows on this side in the seat backs, there should be little mirrors in there. It's the first five rows here. If you're in one of the back rows, can we just start handing out the mirrors that are in the back of the seats, please? August, can you help me get some of the mirrors? There's little mirrors in all the seats. Give you a second. Huh? Black ones blend in. And if you're not able to grab one right now, that's okay. Huh? If anyone doesn't have one, just raise your hand. We'll pass them back. We'll try to get everybody one. In the front row, there should be two in each front back. Anyone else need one? Everybody got one? Take a look. Look at yourself. No, I'm not we all look good. I know that. Y'all are all beautiful. What I'm asking you to do is look at your heart. Look at yourself and examine your heart. Because that's where it starts. We got to be able to examine our hearts and realize where we are at right now if we're going to make a change. A change to follow Him, not just on Sundays, but to follow Him Monday through Saturday. A change to change up some of the things that we have been doing in our life that is not productive in kingdom mindset. It's not easy. I'm not going to say it is. It's been hard for Corey and I, but it's been worth it. Because ultimately, we want to store our treasures where? In heaven. And when we put these characteristics of God first, when we put these disciplines of God first, everything in our life will change. I am totally convinced that genuinely reflecting the Lord in all that we think, say, and do is the key to revival. Seeing living examples of Christ is what will bring our sons and daughters, our friends and acquaintances to the Lord. When we see Christ's real love, hear His supernatural wisdom, and experience His power through us, our friends and acquaintances, they will see that, yes, Jesus is real. He's alive, and He cares. Nothing will bring others to the saving knowledge of Christ faster than seeing genuine living examples. But here's the key. Nothing will turn them away quicker than seeing phonies and hypocrisy. Therefore, glorifying and manifesting and reflecting Christ in everything is our highest attainment in life. It's the reason we are called. The purpose of our lives is to bring others closer to Christ. Will you make room for Him today? Will you make room for Him today? I would like to finish this service by singing, worshiping with a song that says, I will make room. It's all about surrendering our lives and truly giving Jesus everything that we have. Will you stand and worship? Yeah. Please take home the mirrors as a reminder of being a reflection of Christ throughout the week. Please. Also, if anyone would like prayer, if you're making a decision to follow Jesus and you want prayer after the service, please come up. There will be a few people to pray for you. And let's make a way. God, we thank you. We thank you for the word, Lord. We thank you that you are alive and well, and that we can call on your name today, Lord. God, just allow us to, you know, rearrange some things in our life so that we can follow you, that we can be a reflection of you today, tomorrow, and the rest of our lives. God, we need you. We need your Holy Spirit. We can't do this alone, but with you, all things are possible. So we give you our life. We give you our time. We give you everything because it is all yours. We praise you and give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed, church.